Let us turn to Exodus chapter 16. And we read here, no sooner had the children of Israel sang praises to their God, to their Savior, no sooner had they experienced the marvelous grace of God's provision in the wilderness. In chapter 15, how they sang the song unto the Lord, and they say, I will sing unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. No sooner had they sang these praises, we see right now in chapter 16, a second complaint in verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto Moses and Aaron, would to God. In short, would to God means if only we had died by the hand of the Lord. Can you imagine the people? And before we are too quick to point a finger at them and say, oh, this unfaithful, ungrateful people. As I said before, the children of Israel is a picture of each one of us. Wretched sinner, unfaithful, ungrateful, unthankful, quick to forget God. So do not be quick to say, these children of Israel, we are better people. Oh no, far from it. So the first complaint after they left Egypt was in chapter 14, verses 11 to 12. And that complaint concerns their safety or their lives. And then the second complaint here is regard to their daily supply of food. So chapter 16 is a record of the Israelites who grumble bitterly again against God. And God, in His mercy and patience, provides meat, manna and manna. And through this, God provides training, discipline of the children of Israel to teach them to trust in God and to instruct them to keep the Sabbath day. Our consideration this morning is to glean some spiritual lessons from this subject, bread from heaven. Verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, or test them, whether they will walk in my law or no. We observe here that God, who loved His children, loved the children of Israel, chose them, and determined to make them a peculiar people unto Himself. And so the Lord undertook upon Himself to teach the children of Israel and to teach us through the use of food as part of their education, as part of our education. And so may the Holy Spirit Himself be our teacher and to teach us divinest lessons by the bread of heaven, wherewith the children of Israel was fed in the wilderness many years ago. The first point for our consideration is this: lesson from the gift of manna. Lessons from the gift of manna. God's greatest desire is for the children of Israel that they should know Jehovah their God. Verse 12. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. This is the purpose and this is the desire of God for his people, that they should know him. If they know God, they would know all else. That's the beauty. If you know God, you will know everything else concerning your life in this sin cursed world. For after all, the proper study of mankind is God. And when man knows his God, he knows himself. But if he thinks he knows himself while he knows not God, he is greatly mistaken. God desired then to teach the Israelite himself by the gift of manna, by the bread of heaven. And he taught them here, the first lesson is this. His care over each one of his children. That he was their God, and that they were his people, and that God himself will lay himself out to provide for them. Think of the care of God that God had over them. Think of it. Over each one of them. For each man, each woman, each child had his own portion of manna. Or here in scripture, in the AV here in our Bible, they use the word Omer. And if you look at chapter 16, verse 36, now an Omer is 10 parts of an ephah. So it is like that portion. The measurement is 10. And so, no woman, no child, no one was forgotten. As we have read from the passage, that every morning of every day, there was sufficient quantity for every person, according to his or her eating for that day, which you see or read in verse 16. There was no more, and there was never any less, you see in verse 18. And so God carefully watched over each individual, each one of his children. Remember this. Keep this in mind. God thinks of every separate child of his as much as he had only, as if he had only that one child. The many, the multitude of God's elect does not in any way diminish God's affection, God's love for each one of his children. He has an infinite affection for each one, and he will take care of the details of each of his chosen children. Likewise, if you are truly God's child, if you are united to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, be assured he will give all you can possibly require. But he will give you nothing that you can make use of to feed your pride. Remember And I hope you took note of that, that I use the word need, not what you whim and fancy, not what you want. You can be assured God will provide if you are God's child. Every of your need for every day, both temporal and spiritual. By temporal, we mean material needs. Needs. And this care was shown to them every single day. The Lord taught them the continuity of His remembrance by its coming every day. Every morning, there was bread from heaven precisely where they needed it. Did you take note of that? Those of you who have read this portion of scripture, have you just paid a cursory look at the text or the passage? But here you see, if you pay careful attention, and I hope that through our brief study, you will see the mercy and the grace of God, the infinite wisdom of God, that the bread from heaven provided for them precisely where they needed it, and that no one need to be burdened by carrying his food in their knitting trough while traveling, while in the wilderness. The second lesson God taught them, the Israelite, from the gift of manna is God's greatness. He taught them His greatness and power. He has already shown, God has already shown to the children of Israel His greatness and His power where, while they were in Egypt by the mighty plagues and at the Red Sea. But now, God gently taught them His greatness, His exceeding greatness. First, by the quantity of manna, the amount allocated for each one of them. There was enough for them all. Do not overlook verse 35. And the children of Israel, verse 35, did eat manna 40 years. Until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. God supplied that quantity every morning for 40 years. What a great God we have. What a great God is the God of the children of Israel. He who could feed these people in the wilderness for 40 years at a stretch, and yet God's storehouses never ever run dry or run low. His greatness was always seen by the mode in which He fed this multitude of people. For us, in our time, or not only in our time, in our usual way of where do we get our food, is actually from the ground, from the soil. But these people, and this is another point that we often overlook when we read God's word. Where were these people? They were in the waste, howling wilderness. Wonder of wonder. Bread from heaven in the wilderness. You know what is a wilderness, don't you? Desert. Dry, hot, for things to really grow, to have their food, is almost near impossible. But wonders of wonders, our God provided for them. in the wilderness. Every morning, their campground was covered with bread from heaven for all that multitude. They had nothing to do but to go out and gather it. Notice that? All they need to do on their part, go out and collect them according to God's instruction. And so you see here, brethren, what a great God this is. Do you believe it? Is this account, is this narrative a fairy tale to you? Is this real? That God did some 2,000 years ago perhaps or more, provided for his people literally. And this is a historical record, my friends. This is no fairy tale. You either believe it or you don't. It is as simple as that. No rocket science. This is a true historical record. This happened. But do you believe it? And do you believe that this God who did that long time ago will continue to do that to his people, to provide for his people even now? The psalmist declares, "Thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness." Psalm 65, verse 11 and 12. "The heavens supply what the earth denies." And so you see here, brethren, the greatness of your God, of my God. Can you deny it? Can you deny that it is this same God, the God of the children of Israel, the God of the Bible, who supplies your every need, every day of your life? The third lesson for the Israelite and for us is God's liberality. For every day, they were fed without payment. Notice that again. When Joseph supplied the people in Egypt, what did he do? Or what have he done? The people have to pay for it. They have to buy corn from Joseph. But not for our God. For our God, there never was a pretense of paying for that daily bread. The richest man or woman among the Israelites, among the children of Israel, they had their portion filled. But he paid for nothing of it for it. And the poorest man or woman among the children of Israel, among the Israelites, they have the same portion, just as full, without price. There was nothing to pay. No manner tax was ever exacted of the Israelites' hand. Oh, what a God we have here. His invitation to the children of Israel, his invitation to you and I is this. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that have no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Isaiah 55 verse 1. Do you notice in this verse, in Isaiah 55 verse 1, do you notice how God's invitation increases or grows? First he says this, "Come ye to the waters." But then he corrects himself, as it were, before he gets through it, and he says, "Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." You see how gracious and merciful this God that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. who gave himself, his whole life, his blood, for the redemption of his people. The Lord is infinitely good. The Lord is infinitely good essentially. He is growingly good experimentally. The more we trust him, the more we discover of God's or the Lord's liberality. He giveth liberally and upbraideth not, say James in James chapter 1 verse 5. God scarcely chastised the Israelites despite their unfaithfulness, despite their frequent murmurings and complaint, but the manna fell continually. God's liberality never stinted them. God supplied the manna bountifully, yet exactly according to the capacity of the receiver. And this brings me to the fourth lesson the children of Israel also learn, and that is this: God's immutability, meaning to say God who changes not. For they have been fed with the same manna all through the wilderness. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, wow, it must be very boring. Every day eat the same food? Ah, you see? Be patient. I shall explain further. For us, well, we have all kinds of food, right? Today, sandwiches, tomorrow, char kway teow and whatever. Sorry, char kway teow means fried noodles, for those who do not know dialect. But anyway, here, before that, let me continue with this fourth lesson first. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, the God of the children of Israel, our God, the God of the Bible. He changes not. Therefore, we sons of Jacob, we who are God's children, we are not consumed. According to the word of the prophet Malachi, in Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, if God had changed, if God had changed, the bread of heaven would have failed. The bread of heaven would have ceased, and we would have been consumed with hunger. Brethren, our Lord God Jehovah still lives. He lives forever and ever. He is the immutable God, unchangeable. His eye is not dim. His ear is not heavy. His arm is not short. Therefore, trust in childlike faith. Trust this unchanging God and be not afraid. The manna shall fall from heaven till you shall eat the old corn in the land of promise. Joshua 5:12. This is the promise to the children of Israel, and this is the promise to those of us who are in Christ. True believers, you can be assured that God will supply all your needs, all that you require in this life, till you see the Lord Jesus in heaven. Next, one more lesson. Fifth lesson that came from the gift of manna is God's wisdom. And here it is. For those of you who think that it must be boring to eat food, same food, every day, 40 years. We must have some variety, right? Ah, you see? That's different. This is bread from heaven. The Lord, who is infinitely wise, had adapted the most suitable food for his people. Notice that. Suitable food to his people. In that what? Remember, it is a hot desert weather. Hot desert condition. You don't take fried food, fried chicken, fried whatever, especially in countries where it is very warm, humid. You try doing that in Singapore or in some other places where it is tropical, every single day try to eat fried stuff, soon you will end up in hospital. I can assure you. But you see here, in such hot weather, such wilderness, God provided suitable food for His children. God gave the Israelites just the right sort of food for them. Easy of digestion. See that? Can fathers and mothers have that wisdom to think or to come out with a recipe or a food that is most suitable for their children? Of course they do try. But you see, only God, who is infinitely wise, knows the right food for us, His children. God had adapted their food to their position in the wilderness. No dietitian could have drawn up a dietary plan that was equal in wisdom to the one prepared by God for His people while they were in that kind of condition. Have you considered that when you read this portion of Scripture? This is your God. This is the God of the Bible. Infinitely wise. God also demonstrated His wisdom in the quantity provided. It was always the right measure. He that gathereth much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. The manna or seems to swell or increase, so that was exactly enough to an ounce for all those multitudes of people. The infinite wisdom of God. He never errs in any sense or way. God always hits the mark precisely in all that He does. And finally, the children of Israel learn one more lesson: the goodness of the Lord, because He had not supplied them with tasteless food. Again, this answer to those who may be thinking, oh, boring, terrible. No, it's not terrible. It is bread from heaven, and their mouth seems to be able to flavor it every day as they take that portion. By the way, if you read carefully, it's not just the manna, that thing that they do not know what they call it, so they call it manna, which means, what is it? They were provided with quails, you know, meat. So please, don't think, oh, you see, God is very, very generous. Not only give you the main course, but provide you with desserts. You see the goodness and the mercy of the Lord? It tasted according to their own liking. And I want to highlight further something else which we often do not cross-check in Scripture regarding this account. But let me continue here and say that God did not give them beggar's food. God did not give them scrap or spare or leftover. God gave them the best food, most suited for them. He said that I will rain bread from heaven for you. And He kept His word. Men did eat angels' food, according to the psalmist in Psalm 78, verse 25. And therefore, manna from heaven, angels' food, cannot be bad food, cannot be boring food, which falls from the table of a most gracious God, the creator of heaven and earth. Can it be? Impossible. The second lesson from this text or from this passage, verse 4, is this. The gift of manna serves as a test, as we see that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. The Israelites, in many respects, were in a very pleasant and comfortable position. How comfortable? Yes, they are in the wilderness, hot weather and all that, but don't forget, for their food, they need not work for their daily supply. Did you notice that? They only had to go out and gather it. There it was, but here is the point for us to observe. Yes, their only task or responsibility is to go out and collect it. And of course, as you know from our reading, that on the sixth day, they are supposed to collect one extra portion, because on the Sabbath day, they are not supposed to go out and work and to collect it. There it was. But here is the point for us. It was given every day. They were not required to store it up, except, as I said, that extra portion for the Sabbath day, which we read in verse 23. There was no store of manna, like what Joseph had to do, store up in those storehouses. All through the wilderness, there was not a single bank in which the people could put their money. There was no such thing as a dividend to be received by anybody, and nobody could be laying up anything. No store, no saving. Each Israelite had what he wanted for the day. He kept on having just so much and no more. And this was a test to them, whether they will continue to trust the Lord. You see the point here? Could the children of Israel, could each one of them endure that test? No saving, no safety net, no insurance. But every day, trust the Lord to provide. And that's a test to them. And then again, there was no store for all the Israelites. They did not get richer, so there was no opportunity for them to be greedy, for it was given to every man the amount that he needed. There was just enough for the day's supply. And here was God's test for them. Every day and no storing up for future. Every man and no greed. So it is with the grace of God. For us, the Christian, God gives us as much grace as we want, but there is nobody who has any grace laid up or stored up. Let us not think that we have more grace than we need, because we have not. You may possibly have as much grace as you last through the day, but you will not need as much as that tomorrow morning, if not more. We do not need dying grace till we come to die. Be satisfied, therefore, brethren, to have living grace while you live. Therefore, brethren, eat your manna. Eat your spiritual manna as the Lord graciously supplies each day. Be thankful, be grateful, and learn to continue to trust Him to supply. Do eat it. Don't put it, don't lay it up. It is not meant to be stored up. It must be eaten. This gift of manna, every day for every man, was a test by which the Lord taught the children of Israel. Thirdly, our text provides us another point. The third point. Lesson from the manna, from the gift of manna concerning temporal things. Lessons from manna, from the gift of manna concerning temporal things. Things that are temporal, things that are that we need only now for this time. And the first lesson from this is this. God teaches us our supplies depend on God. Your supply, my supply, all that we need in this life, while in our short pilgrim journey here, all depends upon Him. Where did all the manna came from? It all came from God. Whatever the second causes, whatever the intermediary sources, all you are to have will come from all you have had has come. Namely, from God. And this is another point which I like to add, which often we take for granted. The air we breathe is from God. Of course, I know there are some who are so proud. Ah, what do you mean? What do you mean by air from God? We are able, so scientific right now, we are able to make oxygen. Did you not read in the newspaper? In India or in other places during the COVID, oh, they supply them with all this oxygen tank. You see, we make oxygen. Do we need air from God? Oh, really? Try. Try. Just spend 1 or 2 hours carrying that tank with you everywhere you go and see how you feel like. Since you are so brilliant, so scientific, so expert right now that you can manufacture oxygen, you don't need God. Really? Try it. I have a friend, a pastor, and I'm sure you know of some people like that in such condition. They have sleep apnea. They have to sleep with their oxygen supply with them on their bed. You think it's nice, fun, having to carry that around with you? And whereas right now you can just freely breathe the air from God. You see, that's the pride of man. And here we are reminded that all our supply depends on Him, and we ought to be grateful and thankful. And the word of the Lord to us is this: those who worship Him, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. If you are a child of the living God, be assured, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Third lesson to us is this: our supply will have to be gathered and prepared by ourselves. In short, human responsibility, no idleness. God sent the manna from heaven, but the people had to go out every morning and get it. It did not fall through their hand, right straight into their mouth. And I'm very perturbed by this, particularly in this country, of these people who are able to work and refuse to work and live on welfare. I'm talking about those who are able to work. Please don't get me wrong. I know some people will be screaming at me after that and say, ah, you critical and judgmental. But there are many cases that I know of. They actually can work. But because they have this welfare system, why should I be working? Oh, just go and see a doctor and get done. And then collaborate with the doctor. Huh? I have this leg pain, knee pain, whatever pain. I cannot sleep well. Okay. That's it. Free. But is it really free? No! It's taxpayers' money. Free. How wonderful this country is. Oh yeah. Really? You did not pay for it, therefore you say that it is free. It is free to you. Anyway, here is my point. God is not an advocate of idleness. He will have His people work. And His rule is this, and I'm sure you know, which I repeated many times in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if any would not work, neither shall he eat. But beloved, we thank God for opportunities for diligence. Do you know that honest hard work is diligent? It is God's will for us, created in the image of God, to work and to be diligent in our work, whatever the work that may be, whatever your vocation. Do you know that work gives us man, made in the image of God, dignity, usefulness, the sense of usefulness, the sense of accomplishment, wholesome accomplishment. Do you know that? That work actually is designed of God for our good. Yes, sure, after the fall, because of the curse to the ground, we find our work very tough. From the sweat of your brow, you will make your living. Yes. But nevertheless, God will give us grace and help. And so therefore, let us be diligent. And fourthly here, God's supply. We ought to be content with God's supply. Don't follow the children of Israel to murmur and complain. For the children of Israel had enough of all their needs. They had no surplus or excess, but they had all sufficiency. They had no luxuries, yet they choose to think. So if you choose to think so that it is a luxury, thank God for it. For your daily mercy became luxury to them and to you. So may the Lord teach us to trust Him in our temporal things. Finally, one more lesson from this text, and that is concerning our spiritual food. For those of us who are Christian believers, thank God that this lesson here, the gift of manna from heaven, teaches us that God will supply our spiritual food for our spiritual well-being. Every day, you and I, as Christian believers, we ought to go out and be diligent to find our spiritual food. I'm talking about spiritual food. However, have you all received spiritual life? In the first place, before you can receive spiritual food, you must first have received spiritual life. If you are still dead in your sin and trespasses, without God, without Christ, you are still spiritually dead. And therefore, you will see no need of spiritual food. May the Lord, the Holy Spirit, quicken you by His life-giving Spirit. But if you have spiritual life, if you are truly a born-again believer, you must feed. You must be fed. God will give you manna from heaven. And what manna? He give you Christ Himself. It is Christ whom you must feed on. He is the bread of life which came down from heaven, and you must feed on Christ. Take care that you go diligently to work to get this spiritual food. The Israelites were up before the expected time to gather the manna which fell morning by morning. Therefore, as Christian believers, be not idle with the word of God. Search it. Do not neglect your daily reading of God's word, your daily intake of scripture, your spiritual growth, or rather, your spiritual growth or maturity is in proportion to your intake of scripture and your time spent with God in quiet devotion. Do not neglect the word of life. Diligently and earnestly seek the Lord. For He has said, those that seek me early shall find me. Proverbs 8, verse 17. Next, take note that the manna was to be sought continually. So must your spiritual food. Do not try to live on last year's manna. Stale experiences are poor food. You need to have a daily realization, a renewed realization of the things of God. of spiritual things, of spiritual lessons. Hourly feed on Christ, for the food of the past years will be of small account to you. Continually go about the meadows and feed. You who are Christ's sheep, go again and again to still waters and be satisfied. And so, brethren, may the Lord bless each one of us who are His blood-bought children. May He make His word sweeter to us every day we live. May we have a good appetite to feed on Christ. As for those who have never known the Lord Jesus, for those who have never known the flavor of the bread of heaven, I again say to you, may God, may the Lord Jesus quicken you by His own life-giving Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to Thee for those of us who are Your children. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for this reminder and this assurance and Your promise to us that You will rain bread from heaven for each one of Your blood-bought children. We pray that You will grant us grace and the help of the Holy Spirit, that we will go out and gather each portion, each day, for our spiritual well-being. We pray that You will help us to feed on Christ, our Savior, and help us, O Lord, not to forsake Thee, or forget Thee, or to turn away from Thee, but that we will diligently seek after Thee each day, continually, until You come and receive us unto Yourself, or You call us home. So help us, we pray, in this new week. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.